the word to be read. We're talking about the means of grace, and one of the means of grace is the preached and read word. How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? In other words, how do we receive the word so that God uses it in our lives? That the word may be become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up into our hearts, and practice it in our lives. We're going to look at those. Here's the verse that goes with this. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So it's not enough to hear the Bible, but we need to do the Bible. So, looking at that answer then, that the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence. Okay, so here's Webster's on diligence. Again, diligence, we're not very diligent about using the word diligence these days. Basically, he says it means steady application, constant effort. And so we might, that's something a supervisor might want to see from someone that works under him, is that they are steady and constant in their effort. Slacker or something. I was going to show a video. What's the opposite of diligence? Does he tell us? What? Slothful. Have you ever seen a sloth? You see in the zoos, are these, and it's just that I understand it is the slowest mammal on the face of the earth. And it's just when they're racing across a road or something, it's just this, it's almost painful. And it's painful sometimes to watch people work. You know, and I understand, for example, that you can tell someone that is a professional, street maintenance worker. His shovel has a kickstand to hold it up for him to, never mind. But anyway, you got the diligence is someone who applies himself, works at it, gets it done. And so we're to approach the scriptures with diligence. Here's Proverbs 8:17. That's wisdom speaking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You know, sometimes people take the approach, well, if God really wants me to know, he's going to drop something out of heaven onto my head. Where God says, there are nuggets in the mine, but you better get a shovel and get to work. The word diligent in Hebrew is related to the word for dawn, which is not this dish soap, but, you know, when the sun rises. That shows that diligence, is that up there? Yeah, the word, it's related to the word dawn. And so then that shows that diligence doesn't dally in doing its duty, but delights to dive in and get it done. Okay, so I spent 3 weeks working on that. So that might help us to remember what is diligence. It doesn't dally, that's slothfulness, in doing its duty, but delights to dive in and get it done. And one of the joys someone can have is to have someone that's diligent in the work. They just dive in and get it done. Well, that's supposed to be our approach to the scriptures. That we are constant in attacking the scriptures, and we labor at it. And then that's something we sometimes forget. We kind of feel like I should be able to open the Bible, my eyes glance over a couple words, and I walk away with a blessing. Sometimes it's work. And I have to tell you that that's one of my struggles on studying for sermons is sometimes it's pick and shovel. And it's all rock. It takes work to get to the truth of it. So how is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? The word may become effectual to salvation that we must attend to it with diligence and preparation. So first of all, they say we need to put effort into how we get into God's word, but also preparation. And this comes from John Flavel. He says, what is due preparation for hearing? It consists in serious consideration of the greatness and holiness of that God whom we approach in hearing the word. In other words, thinking, this is God's word. He cites Acts 10:33. So I sent to you, this is Cornelius speaking to Peter. I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So when Cornelius, remember, Peter, he was told, send for Peter, he'll tell you what you need to know. When Peter came, Cornelius had gathered some friends, and what he was saying is, Peter, we haven't invited you because we hear you're a nice guy. We expect to hear God's word from you. That's the sense of preparation. There's a sense of a readiness to hear God's word. And then it says, an awe in the heart. Isaiah 66:2 says, God says, on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. So one is a sense of it's God's word. And just a sense of who it's coming from. But trembling, just the thought of the authority and power it has. See, again, this is how we receive God's word as we're studying it and as we're preparing to hear a sermon. The sense of this is God's word and a sense of awe. Yeah, I would wonder, when's the last time we sensed that as we were getting ready to read our Bible or listen to a sermon? By the way, that's one of the reasons, for example, we encourage some quiet preparation before the service actually begins. We're even putting up the scripture for the day on the screens there to help you kind of think about that and to prepare and be ready. But you see, the idea of a prepared heart, a readiness, this is going to be significant. And then there's supposed to be a longing after the word. Again, and there's this reference to Peter, where Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You ever seen a baby that's hungry? Or even a little puppy or, you know, goat or pony or colt? How eager and kind of like, get me that food or I'm going to be very unhappy. So a sense of an eagerness. We're going to hear God's word. So what he's saying is for us to receive God's word, there's a spirit of diligence. That might mean, you know, I'm going to, you know, take notes or I'm going to dig in here, whether it's my personal Bible study, I'm going to really try and get to what's going on here. There's a sense of preparation. Preparing my heart to say God is going to be speaking his truth to us. So in the worship service, in particular, it's kind of a conversation. We speak to God when we pray, when we sing our worship. Now, we're also speaking to each other, right? We're supposed to teach and admonish one another with the songs we sing. So even though we're singing worship to God, it's also encouraging each other. And even when we pray, that's speaking to each other. Remember, there's a time Jesus tells the God, now his Father, and I know you know what I'm going to ask for, but I'm going to pray out loud for these people. So in the prayer time, we're together. But when in the preaching of the word, what we are doing there is, now this is God's chance. Can I put it that way? This is God's turn to speak to us. And so that sense of a trembling, a sense of a readiness, a sense of an eagerness, a sense of love for it. So it's not a sense of excitement to hear me speak, but to hear God. A.W. Tozer says this, God will speak to the hearts of those who prepare themselves to hear. And conversely, or on the other hand, those who do not so prepare themselves will hear nothing, even though the word of God is falling upon their outer ears every Sunday. So if we come with a heart that's not really ready, interested in hearing, that's just going to kind of be bouncing off the ears. I heard something. Yes. Preparation. You're looking for God's truth. What is God going to teach me about himself? What is God going to teach me about myself? So, yes, a readiness. That's part of that preparation. So I think there's this question helps us think about, in our personal Bible study or when we come to hear God's word, making the impersonal, intentional effort, like that song we were singing, "Speak, Lord." You know, Lord, use this time. I want to hear from you. Another way so the word may be effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. So we pray as we're getting ready for the word. So the first one is, if you will, the prayer for the preacher. This is something Paul asked for. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, be glorified, just as it is with you." Just so to be prayerful. So I would ask for you for prayer, that as I'm getting ready to preach, as I'm, you know, studying during the week and Saturday evening finishing it off, praying for me that I will understand and be accurate in my understanding of the word to give it to you. Praying for me to preach effectively. I know some of you are fervent in prayer, that it would be short. And, you know, so obviously no righteous men here because God's not answering. No. There was a pastor who'd been in a church for some time, and some of the leadership of the church came to him and said, "Pastor, we're noticing your preaching has kind of taken a downturn lately. It's not as effective." And the pastor said, "You know, I've been noticing the same thing, and I think it's because I've lost my prayer book." "You lost your prayer book? We didn't realize you had a prayer book." Well, to make a long story short, what he said is that my prayer book is the people who are praying for me. And I have a distinct sense that I don't have that same prayer support I used to have. And as the leaders were thinking, they said, "You know what? I think you're right." And so they went back to stir the people. Have we been doing our part in praying for him? And it actually, God used that time to restore everybody in their fervency with the Lord. So pray. One of the things I appreciate is often as George Kramer concludes the Sunday school service, he prays for me. And I really appreciate that because I have a sense of an utter dependence on the Lord. And so some passages in particular, it's just there's an agony. "Lord, if you don't do some incredible work here, this isn't going to be effectual." Sometimes the passage is so significant, it's like someone hands you a 1,200-year-old piece of fine china and says, "Here, would you mind carrying this across the room?" Frankly, no, I don't want to carry it across the room. Get someone else. There's a sense of how can I be the one that has to handle this treasure. So pray for us that the word of Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Secondly, here's another prayer that we can pray for ourselves. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." In Israel, when I was there, that was a Sunday school song they said in Hebrew. They taught the kids, "Gol einai v'avita niflaot mitoratecha." "Open my eyes that I may behold wonders from your word." And so they would teach the kids to sing that as a preparation for approaching the scriptures. Good one verse prayer. "Lord, open my eyes," like you're saying, "that I may behold wonders from your law, from your word, your revelation." So that in the moments before we come in here, we've just come in from a good lesson, or you've just taught a fabulous lesson, or you've just changed 18 diapers in 2 minutes, whatever you're coming in here to, here's some quick prayers. Praying for the one bringing the word, praying for the one receiving the word. And frankly, it's just a quickie. "Lord, open my eyes." And so right away, if we're really praying that from our heart, we're looking for the goodies. And so even if the deliverer isn't doing such a great job of delivery, the goods are still there and can bless. So prayer is part of that effectual. That the word may be effectual, we must attend to it. In other words, that's intentional. with diligence, with preparation, with prayer. We must receive it with faith. Faith or belief or trust, first of all, that it's, and primarily that it's God's word. Paul described the Thessalonians, when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That is fundamental to rightly receiving the word, whether, again, the word in your lap as you're reading in, you know, your Bible, or the word from the pulpit. It's God's word. It's not man's opinion. And that's where we start having problems when people are taking the Bible. And you'll hear this. Well, that was Paul's opinion. But, you know, Paul had these really strange ideas. No, it's God's revelation. And so, right there, just the significance of this is God's eternal, inerrant truth. And so, Paul, that was the evidence that the Holy Spirit had worked in the Thessalonians. That as Paul preached, they recognized this isn't Paul, this isn't another philosopher who's got some great ideas. The Greeks heard that all the time. No, this is God's revelation. It's true. It's authoritative. So that's the faith that's necessary. If I don't believe that, then it's not going to be any blessing to me. If I take it and say that's just good as reading a poem by Longfellow or Dr. Seuss, then I'm not going to get much out of it. But if I say this is unlike any other book there is, God's perfect and powerful truth, that's the attitude of faith that receives and benefits from it. Let's keep going through this little list. That the word become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, prayer, receive it with faith, and love. Here's some verses to think about. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. If I love it, I meditate on it. You know, if we love something, or if we love someone, where that thing is kind of always in our mind. You know, you might bump into someone and they've just got their birthday gift or something, and it's what they've been thinking about for 3 years. And that's all, and it doesn't take you long. There, you know, you hear all about it. Or, you know, someone that's just met someone special, and they just said yes, they're going to marry. Whatever, they're thinking about that all along. But if you meet someone and say, so how's so-and-so? And they say to you, who? Oh, yeah. That's not a good sign. So right receiving of God's word is a love for it. Oh, I love your law. Look at this contrast, Psalm 119:63. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Again, this is the believer speaking. The believer hates the lie, but loves God's truth. Of course, God's truth, because lying is the opposite of the Bible. So I loving God's word because it's, so I meditate. Loving God's word, I know it's true. Do you ever get tired of maybe reading the news source? Of course, now there's even a whole label, right? Fake news. And then there's, you know, some of the talk shows or you listen to the news and it get a little, did it ever get to the place you get a little annoyed? Because there's so much, you get the sense, there's 80% dishonesty here. God's word, every syllable is truth. Oh, I love your law. Here's another verse, Psalm 119, verse 165. By the way, you notice the psalm these are all coming from. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. So just if when we cherish God's word, we don't get stumbled by fear. We don't get stumbled by doubt. We don't get stumbled by wrong thinking. It's a light to our path. So loving God's word, if that's my heart, then I'm going to receive and benefit, rejoice in it. I think I've shown this before, but I'm going to show you just a short clip of an interesting event. I think it's in Papua New Guinea. And this is a tribe that is for the very first time receiving the New Testament. They've had little portions here and there. But translators have been working furiously. They have completely translated the New Testament, printed it, bound it, and it's arriving. I think this is an example to us of how we receive the Bible. Do you see the love they have for God's word? I mean, as you look around, people were just weeping. People were celebrating. And it was every kind of emotion they were feeling of the treasure of God's word. So that's a challenge to us. What's our response to God's word? You know, some people that, oh, have you heard this? Oh, that's just Bible. I want something interesting. I want something relevant. I want something entertaining. What do you think these folks would have said to you? We have been begging for this day. We want something relevant and meaningful. And there's nothing more relevant and meaningful and true than God's word. And so just that, so that the love, like the child that delights. So I think their friends are correct in how they're speaking to us. How is the word to be read and heard, that it may become effectual to salvation? That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, prayer. Receive it with faith and love, and lay it up in our hearts. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. In other words, the psalmist, again, it's Psalm 119. You want to talk about the word, Psalm 119. What's it saying is, I've intentionally put your word in my heart. Now, is he saying that he went down to Baylor Hospital and had them do open heart surgery? No. He's talking about the heart of the core of who I am. What does he mean to put it in there? Through learning and through memorizing, through treasuring, it's planted in there. And so if you were to, you know, look at our heart and you were to open up and do some open heart surgery, there'd be the Bible. We're supposed to implant God's word in our heart. And so when I'm opening the Bible to read it, in my personal reading time, okay, having that attitude, I want God's word in my heart. When I'm listening to it preached, in whatever context that might be, you know, that I'm recognizing the treasure it is and intentionally treasuring it away, those goodies in my heart. And sometimes that, you know, we cheat. We go ahead and we highlight it. We underline it. We write ourselves notes. Those are all good because actually in doing it, that helps get it in there, but that helps you remember. This is a goodie that I want to hold on to. I say, love it, lay it up, live it. That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up into our hearts, and practice it in our lives. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And so the point here is we are walking what we're reading. We are living what we are learning. You read it, and we do it. You know, because if now here's the problem. If we get used to the idea of hearing God's word, but not doing it, not obeying it, we start developing spiritual calluses. It doesn't affect us as much because God's Word is not just meant to tickle our minds, fill our fancies with philosophy. It's meant to change our heart, transform our thinking. And that transforms our living. If we hold up a wall against God's Word, I'll hear it, but I'm not going to do it, a callus begins to form and become less and less sensitive to God's Word. It's a dangerous pattern to get into when we say no to the promptings of the Word. So we want to be like this guy. Read it and start doing it. Now here's an illustration that might help us think about doing it. Here's a dad and his daughter. Hey, sweetie, did you clean your room yet? Oh, you're going to be so impressed, Daddy. I memorized exactly what you said to me. You said, go clean your room, hun. And guess what? After a little bit of practice, I could even say it. I could even say, go clean your room in Greek. What's missing? Yeah. And so you know, you're going to be so impressed, Dad, is he? You're discouraged. I don't want you quoting my words back to me. I want you to do it. Well, if that's true for him, isn't that true with the Lord as well? He doesn't just want us being able to quote his word back to him if it's not affecting our heart and behavior. And that's not wrong, of course. That's part of to learn it and to treasure it in our heart is part of the process. But in treasuring it in our heart, if it's really treasured in our heart, it affects what we do. But if we just say, hey, those are great words, because they're great words, but they don't affect our heart and our behavior, we're missing out. And so the writers of the catechism said all of those attitudes together, that it's an intentional of preparation, of prayer, of love, of faith, and of application is all part of the process. And so as we are reading the Word, we're supposed to hear it, recognize, oh, Lord, show me some wonders in here. And then we're supposed to walk in those wonders and obey them. And the same thing when we come in to hear God's Word with a sense of expectancy. Here is God's truth. Now, again, if you're coming in with that attitude, you're going to be more receptive to it. And the more I have that attitude, again, that's one of my struggles, is I really wrestle with the fact, because it's God's Word, have I really finished studying it and preparing it? Can I really say I got everything out of there? And I can't. And so it does two things to me. So, frankly, in my study, I end up basically going until I just can't go anymore and say, okay, I have to stop now. There's more in here, but we stop here. And so Saturday nights are often a late night for me just because I can't figure out when I've finished getting the goodies out of there. So that's one struggle that's there. And so some people will say, well, when do you finish your sermon? Right around noon, Sunday morning. That's one of my, you know, and honestly, I mean, it's amazing to me, even with all that, and I'll review in the morning before I come over. And then even as I'm here, other things may keep flooding in. Because it's God's Word, it's inexhaustible. But if I just thought I'm giving a lecture on some poem somebody wrote, I think we'd all be dying. Because I wouldn't care that much and you wouldn't care that much because you could tell I didn't care that much. But if we all come with the attitude, this is God's Word, a sacred responsibility for me and a sacred responsibility for us, all of us who receive it. But when we do that, then we have the joy of all these things that we've been talking about as well. So that's what the Catechism tells us about how the Word becomes effectual in our heart. It's God working through His Word, and it works through our intentional receiving of it. Okay, so it's not just if I... And that's one of the things that the Catechism wants to make clear to us. It's not like some that say it operates, it has a power in and of itself. Like baptism, just get in the water, you're going to get saved. It's not, and in the same way, just having the Bible preached at you isn't effective. It has to be received in faith. Okay? Good. Well, we'll go from there to praying.